All right. Okay. Check 1, 2. Test 1, 2. Check 1, 2. What's up, Global Digital Plantation?
It's your boy, Shorty Shorty Lolo.
MichaelManicotti.com is the website. Ooh, what to say today? So, man, there's a lot going on. And it already feels good to be on the microphone because this is actually where I feel most comfortable, like in the performance space. It doesn't really matter what it is. It could be the stage or whatever. I just feel like that's where the universe just syncs up for me. So you can imagine why I feel so strongly about things like social media, because I mean, I don't know. It's just this is where I like to be. And yeah, matter of fact, like I tried to like record live or whatever on I think it was YouNow. And it's strange because to me this is like a little incubation chamber where I'm at in the camper right now. So it's kind of like a meditative thing to a certain degree. And I like that. So today I think the subject of this podcast is called What to do when nobody's listening. Okay? So, you know, even as I'm recording this, and I've got my website pulled up here, it's kind of strange because I pretty much consistently feel like I have this weird pressure on my brain, almost like I have a tumor or something. I don't know what it is. I think it's just that, like, I talk about, you know, suffering and things like this, and that, you know, when we suffer, this is what forces us to make a change or get better at what we do. You know, and I made a concept on the website. It's called Suffer City. And this is where you sit until you attain mastery. And it's basically like this, you know, fictitious Wild West Dust Bowl environment. And it's not very pleasant. You know, people are trying to kill you. You know, you're trying to find scraps to eat. And, you know, you're trying to survive by any means necessary until you attain mastery. And basically, when you do that, it gets you out of Suffer City. So you're right now, you're in the barrio of Suffer City. And you're trying to figure it out. Everybody around you smoking crack, you know. And it could be the social media, you know, addicts. They're doing this, and you're trying to emancipate yourself from this hell. And I think that's what I feel like I'm in. Is that it's not that I don't know how to interact with the outside world. It's that I don't know how to interact with the people that are in the digital world. You know, because there is nothing you can do to get through to them. And there's 2 billion people with that mindset that are literally locked into a digital device on a daily basis for up to an hour a day. This just blows my mind. I mean, what kind of world are we going to live in going forward? And you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It's coming. Yeah, well, people could have said that about Adolf Hitler. They could have said that about Nazi Germany. They could have said that about, you know, a lot of things. Just not going to do anything. Because, you know, it's going to happen anyways. That's not true. That's not true in any way, shape, or form. It is really true. It only takes one person to say, I don't like this. You know? To say I don't agree with what's going on. I don't agree with the fact that the CEO of this corporation that we call Facebook, he goes in front of Congress and he's a perfect depiction of his platform. You know, he's putting a filter on everything. Nothing real is coming out of that man's mouth. Everything is dancing around the question. We're never... Why is it that you have to keep doing what you're doing? Why don't you just take your $120 billion and just go home? Why are you still here? Because you want to manipulate the way people think? Is that what you want your legacy to be? Did you literally enslave 2 billion people and got them to think a bunch of shit that may not even be accurate? That's not the world that I want to live in. God forbid I have children that I said, you know what? You know what, son? Daughter, whatever. You know, your dad could have done something, but you know, when I started posting that stuff on Facebook and people started saying your father was crazy, I just didn't want it to upset my future. I'm sorry you have that collar around your neck that shocks you every time you don't buy a product or share a post. You know, and every time I leave the house, I see an ad on some digital screen that I'm walking down the street, and it knows what I'm thinking. You know, I'm sorry. Let's go to Disney World now. Okay? They've already got your DNA on file. We can walk right in. But we're not going to get to go to the cool rides because we have to go to the rides that only we can afford. Because the system knows how much your father makes. You know, and I'm sorry, we can't go visit, you know, the national monuments because, you know, your dad, 20 years ago, he started this thing called MichaelManicotti.com, which he gave up on, and they put me into a system because of what I believe, a digital NSA database run by the federal government connected to Facebook.com because I said something, they thought maybe I'd pose a threat. So now we don't get to go to the Lincoln Memorial because of that. I'm sorry. You know, people that don't know me, even the people that know me, they don't know me, okay? And I'm not going to try to explain what vision is. I'm not going to go down that whole road, okay? All I'm going to say is that it's really not that hard to see. What's hard is, it's hard to believe. So would you rather believe in a system that could have that potential for your future? Or do you want to believe a guy of flesh and blood, you know, that took his shirt off in front of the mirror as he's shaving, talking about promoting social media rehab to show you I don't look like everybody else, to show you that I don't have six-pack abs and, you know, cut arms? Because that's how most of us look. But see, these platforms are not projecting that. They're making us feel like we're less than human. That we need to look like these projections of what we're putting out there. And it's all tied in. It's all connected. The digital media, Facebook, YouTube, who's now censoring content. You got videos. The guy goes on, he talks about how to navigate the family law system. And his videos get demonetized because his opinions are controversial. In other words, it's not acceptable art. You must have a stamp from the Queen. You must be registered with the authorities. So, I mean, like, what's the point? You know, what's the point of us getting out there and doing anything if this is the world we're going to live in? You know what? You can count on one thing. At least there's one motherfucker that does not give a fuck, okay? And that motherfucker is me. Rant concluded. Y'all ready for the podcast today? I'm gonna save that shit because that was fucking epic. God, I'm always so impressed with myself. All right, hold on one second. Let me save this shit. Okay, done with all the gloom and doom. Y'all ready? Hope y'all didn't piss yourselves. Okay, so this podcast is called, well, I said something to the effect of while you're not being... what to do when you're not being listened to. So, you know, matter of fact, I hope you like the voice I'm speaking in. I've gotten quite a few complaints about how I'm yelling at my audience. So I'm going to change my tone a little bit since you want me to talk to you like the little punks that you are. Nah, so... yeah, so... here it goes. It goes like this. The age-old problem... I said the age-old problem. No one's paying attention to what I'm saying. I can definitely say with ultimate authority that this is the absolute worst time in history to be heard. There's just way too much noise. Even the noise is noise. Everybody's an authority. Everybody's an expert. Everybody is so real that they're fake. If you look at the analysis I did on my Facebook page, it's no secret that even when you're saying the truest, most honest message possible, people eventually tune you out if you are too frequent with them. That's just the way things have become. Everybody has their own television station, and they're all watching a different channel. You know, I talk about that social media have become platforms for our own delusion. Like, you know, and... even if I seem delusional, at least I'm putting it into a coherent thought, you know. So this podcast addresses what to do when you're one of us, all the people that feel like nobody's listening. Okay, point number one. Yes, we got some nice points here. Let me take a little sip real quick. I'm not drinking alcohol. Point number one. Understand that now is the time to hone your craft. The best time to prepare for war is in times of peace. Now is a time of peace for you. So don't waste time worrying about the war not being here yet. Quietly retool your chambers and train in your sights to make sure you are prepared for the day that things pop off. Practice every move in your sequence. Train in martial arts and mortal combat. Study the tactics of the great warlords that came before you. That's what you need to be doing. Focusing on creating as much as possible and using the next day to build on the previous day. That's pretty self-explanatory. Okay, point number two. Don't worry about the response. They call it a canary in the coal mine for a reason, you know? It's because the bird that can detect danger way before anyone else does. That's me. That could be you too. If you have a provocative message or vision, you're going to see it long before everyone else does. Don't worry too much if people aren't paying attention. Whether or not they do or don't, you shouldn't attach your self-worth to a click or a like. I know it's hard. Especially recently when I've been testing all this content on my Facebook page, you know, I'm curious how people, not because I want them to like it or dislike it or whatever, or comment. I'm just curious what they're going to say, how they're going to react. So there's a lot of anticipation there. Point number three, pay attention to who's responding to you. If nobody's responding to you at all and you feel totally alone, yield back to point one. You can't waste your time worrying about when your day is going to come. Your day is today, and I mean that in the realest sense. If people are responding, take note of who they are. Like I talk about in the Big Time Oil Man video, it doesn't matter how many likes, comments, or views you receive. You need to focus on who's responding to what you say. Okay, would you rather have 100 likes from 100 broke motherfuckers or one like from a millionaire? Look at it like that and respond to the people who are going to benefit you the most, not the people who are not. You know, I'm going to add to this token. I have to silently laugh inside because the people that view the content that I'm posting, for example, whether or not they're paying attention to it doesn't matter. The point is that my plan is so far past what they're looking at. So one day they're sitting there sniveling in their heads, you know, thinking whatever they're thinking, not knowing that I'm going to pop up on television at some point and literally you will not be able to avoid what I'm trying to do. So that's what I'm saying is that I don't care if people aren't responding there because I know that all I have to do is go to the television station. And if one of them doesn't want to put me on, there's four other ones. Okay. And if they don't want to put me on where I live, then I'll just go to another city and then I'll go on that station. And then once I'm on that station, I'll bring that interview back to the ones that rejected me. This is the psychology of people. You know what I mean? And there's so many people. This is sales. As long as you continue going out there, you know, letting people know that you exist, it's an immutable law that you will eventually find a nut, okay? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. I'm a blind squirrel. I'm the poster boy for being a blind squirrel. You know, I talk about that in Fan Mail Podcast 1. You know, my friend says, you're so good with women, this and this and that. And I told him the story about me being gunned down consistently all night long by woman after woman. And then one girl said, yes, okay? And I made out with that gal at New Year's. And I tried to take her home, but her brother wouldn't let me. You know what I mean? And then all the other girls in the bar that rejected me, they came up to me. One of them had the balls to come up to me and say, that's what she said. She said, oh, I see you found something for the night. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And I didn't take it personal because, like I say in the podcast, you know, if that guy likes me now too, I'll fuck her as well. You know, this is what sales is. People may not buy right now, but they're going to buy eventually. Okay. Point number four, streamline your systems and remove inefficiencies. This is similar to point number one, but it's more specific to honing your craft. This is more like refining your process. The more you create, the more you're going to develop processes to speed things up. I, for example, have many contractors that do different tasks for me so that I can focus on what's important, which is creating. Okay. Point five, create a system. This is similar to point four. but also similar to the process. A process is a system you use to create art. An artistic system is one you use to do everything required of your art to sustain an enterprise. From production to promotion to marketing to sales, automatically scheduling blog posts, Instagram posts, Facebook advertising, whatever you're doing, whatever you can do to allow technology to minimize your workload is key. Excuse me. Yeah, so check out some of these outsourcing websites. They got a lot of great resources on there that of people that can do stuff way better than you can. So point six, talk to a professional. Okay. Society wants to make you believe it's not okay to talk to a professional psychologist or counselor about your problems, your first world problems. Everybody has problems. And in my opinion, everyone should go talk to a counselor even when you don't have serious trauma going on. These professionals can help you navigate and provide honest feedback that can help you get out of your own head. A lot of times, family and friends tend to not give us honest feedback and good advice because they care about us and don't want to hurt our feelings. This is understandable, but it's not bad to talk to them as well. But a professional is trained to really drill down your thought processes and give you tips on how to improve in a way that is going to serve you based on the science of things. I've talked about this before. I do go to a psychologist, okay? I haven't been to him in a while, but I go to him. He is a doctor, and he's been practicing for a long-ass time. He's real well-respected in my community. And this guy, anytime I am... You know, I always know the answers inside. Inside, you know what the answer is. But when I interface with him, he reassures me of things. It's basically like I'm just getting a second opinion to make sure whatever I'm doing is the right thing. And it usually is. But what he does is he gives me the reversal on it or the outside perspective and things to consider. So, yeah, so I think that doing that is incredibly healthy. You know, I know a lot of real high achievers that go to these, you know, counselors or psychologists or whatever. Point number seven, read books about people you admire or subjects that interest you in an effort to improve your internal world. Okay, reading beneficial information, not celebrity blogs about whose tit popped out of their designer skirt over the weekend. You know, things like books help open your mind, okay? Anytime I'm down and out or feeling trapped, I seek out books on the topic that's bothering me. I literally go to Amazon and type in the problem to see what comes back. For example, everyone thinks that they are crazy at times, okay? And let's see, I put in here. Oh, yeah. I'm always reading books on the mind. And one of my god is called The Psychopath Inside. And basically what happened in this book, I just started reading it. I've already been, you know, telling people about it. But in this book, this guy, he basically does a blind study or whatever. He does all these MRIs on these people, and then he decided to do it on his family, from what I recall. And one of the MRI brain scans indicated that it was a psychopath. Okay, and the first thing is that a psychopath is a huge misconception in society. People think that psychopath means you're going to go out and kill a bunch of people. That's not what that means. It means they basically have a certain, you know, tendency towards being antisocial or, you know, not lacking empathy and things like this. But that doesn't necessarily mean they take action on it. And that's kind of what he was saying. But anyway, in the study he did, he saw that in his family there was a psychopath because he did all these MRIs and he was curious, like, what the hell is going on here? So he asked his research assistant to take off the labels so he could see who it was, and it was him. So the neuroscientist allegedly has the brain or mind of a psychopath. And So anyway, I'm looking forward to reading that again. But anyway, the point is, that's the book I'm reading right now. I said, though I haven't finished it at the time of this publishing, the first chapters were interesting to me, and at the very least, it took my mind off my own psychosis and focused it on someone else's. When you read, your mind makes connections, and when you're making these connections, it helps to make you realize and reflect on your current state. Many times, if not all times, after reading books, it really helped me to understand that the reason I was in a funk was because I needed a new perspective. For example, if you feel like you're powerless and nobody's listening, go get a book like The 48 Laws of Power that gives you tactics that can help, that you can apply to your life on how to become powerful. Okay? If you're having problems communicating with your loved ones, go buy a book on how to communicate with your spouse or significant other, like The 5 Love Languages. You know, everybody talks about that book. This type of literature gives you that new perspective so that you can change your strategy as it relates to interacting with the outside world. Maybe it's that people are listening, you just don't see it. I see this all the time, you know, I've talked about it before, is that, you know, if you're not getting likes and comments as it relates to social media, it doesn't mean people aren't listening. I mean, even outside of that, like, somebody else could talk about something that you did to your friend, to their friend, and then, you know, they know about you now. So, people are listening, you just don't realize it a lot of times, okay? And even if they're not, yield back to point number one. Work on building your house. You know what I mean? Build your empire. Just focus on doing something, taking those small steps. Point number eight, understand that people are always listening. They too may just be stuck in their head. Look, we all got issues, okay? That's an immutable law of humanity. Some have more than others, okay? You know, as much as I'm stuck in my head or I'm whatever, I don't debate or dispute the fact that I'm incredibly well off and that there are people that are hurting way worse than I am. So I think that's why I take action on these tough issues. Because, you know, if I have the freedom to say something, why wouldn't I say it? I mean, there's so many people around the world that they want to say shit and they can't. You know, who's going to speak for those people? And I've said it before, a lot of this is not even about me, okay? It's just me. It's me talking into a mic. I'm a masthead for maybe what other people want to say and they can't. I mean, I've looked at my website hits and I can see where the traffic's coming from, right? And there, people are definitely tuning in to what I'm saying. And it's kind of wild because, you know, a couple people I know, I've contacted them because I know they've seen my videos and stuff and they've told me that exact same thing. They said, you know, you're saying the stuff that people are afraid to talk about, you know, so that's what I'm saying. But okay, to go into the point, people got issues, right? We're all in our own head. Excuse me. I post content and do social experiments all the time to see what people react to. The biggest thing I've learned is that people are in fact listening. So much so that I'll run into people, friends, or whatever, and they may not have commented or liked the video, for example. Or I said, oh, shit. You should... But you shouldn't be on social media, remember? But when they saw me in real life, they mentioned it, okay? So they might not even mention it, but they might accidentally slip up and recite something I said in a podcast because they listened to it, and whatever I said has now become part of their belief set. This is the crazy part. I've talked to numerous people that they're already incorporating a lot of the concepts that I've talked about. That's cool. You know, I'm not trying to like brainwash y'all or nothing. If you don't subscribe to it, don't. Like I said, I'm not a leader. I'm not anyone's particular leader. People might perceive me that way, but I'm a mercenary. You know what I mean? So alliances with none, trade with all. So we're trading right now. And if you got a battle you need to fight, call me up. You know, if you got your podcast, you know, like Garage Noise, and call me up. You know, we'll do something so that we can continue to, you know, preach these real messages. Okay, so I said there are lots of people listening at times when you think they aren't. People are by nature trolls, including me. I creep on people just like you, okay? Like you do, but just like them, I may not necessarily reach out because I don't want to, or I don't know how. You know, a lot of times, you know, you see people or admire what they're doing, but maybe they're a bigger brand than you are or whatever, and you know that you can't reach out to them yet, or any number of things, you know? Okay, point number 9. Yeah, like, I've been reaching out to the porn star Mia Khalifa, like, regularly, and I don't think she's ready to hear from me. Point number 9. Again, I'm a little bit bummed out, because actually, at the time of this publication, she actually has a boyfriend now. Anyway, okay. Let's move on to the next thing. I know. I'm a fucking loser. Okay. Point number 9. This is a perfect segue. Go inside yourself. This speaks to the above listed points. When somebody blows me off, I don't take it personal. I just focus on myself more and developing my craft more. That makes you attractive. And when you are attractive, people come to you. You know, I'm just going to stop this real quick and just mention this point. I don't know if I could say that you're really not successful if you're chasing after what you want, you know, or chasing after the people you want, you know, because there's lots of times where I've wasted my time saying, well, shit, you know, I got to get laid, time to go out and troll the bars, you know, or whatever. And for whatever reason, you're just sending off a vile vibe that, you know, you're coming to get you some. And that doesn't always work. So I try to maintain a thing that, like, I'm working on what I'm doing, and if I make it out to the bar, it's merely for recreation. Anyway, I said the harsh reality is that sometimes you may graduate to a new level and leave a lot of old people behind. You could still be nice to them, but if they aren't listening to you or responding to who you are, what you believe, and what you want to do, then it's probably time to move on. People always need third parties to validate the people that they give attention to, but you don't need that attention in order to better yourself or to know your worth, okay? If I spew the same message for an entire year and nobody listens, and then I go on TV to promote social media rehab, for example, or whatever, then all of a sudden people are listening because the TV said so. That's the only reason why. And see, I know this because I've done a lot of publicity, you know, in my career. I know how the game works. Okay, I said nothing about me changed, but to them, now things are different. Now you are worth listening to because the TV said so. And see on a basic level, that's so retarded. Like, you have to have a box that tells you bullshit all day long anyways, you know, that emits this blue light and has, you know, it's an inanimate object. It has to tell you what's acceptable, but that's how people work. Point number 10, make people come to you. All right, let me drink some of this drink a little more. If you're watching on camera, I'm not endorsing that product. But I drink them from time to time, you know. Okay. Make people come to you. I've done lots of social experiments on dating apps with this. What I figured out is that the more somebody tries to get you to comply with their behavior, the less they're going to tolerate yours. This is actually a pretty interesting phenomenon. For example, a simple proven method I use when me and a girl agree to meet up, whether it's in real life or on a dating app, I give the girl my number, okay? If she messages me, then I know she's serious. If she doesn't, then I know she's trying to get me to comply. This whole, you know, you contact me first because I don't text first. Basically, her exhibiting this type of behavior displays that she thinks she's worth more than you. There have even been studies done on this shit that talk about females having unrealistic expectations and overestimating their value in the sexual marketplace. And this is a perfect example. If you give her your number, that's you putting the ball in her court. Okay? Since the ball is there, why would you run back over there to get it? Basically, her not texting you is the equivalent to you throwing the ball to her and then her running the opposite direction and scoring on her own goal. Okay? See how stupid that sounds? Giving her your number doesn't overreach your authority or make her feel uncomfortable because it lets her decide if she wants you in her life or not. There are some exceptions to this rule, but not very often. Same goes for anything else in business. If I'm facilitating a need for you, I'm not going to chase you down to give you a bottle of water. If you're thirsty, you will come to the water boy, okay? Which is me in this case. It's better to be by yourself with no prospects than in a living hell being someone else's slave. Always remember that. When you're by yourself working on your craft and honing your unique skills, people come to you. Always. This is an immutable law. You know, when I was playing blues for fun in downtown Dallas, it's funny, I would play all this material the second I played the blues because that is such a unique skill because people don't know how to do it. Matter of fact, if you're my Facebook friend, you can see a video I just posted of me playing guitar on there. It'll be on my website eventually, but I just posted a little clip, but I'm going to be posting more of that. But the point is that it was crazy. Like, people started pouring into the venue, and I had never seen that happen before. I mean, I've seen it happen before, but not in the context of where I was playing. I hadn't played in that environment, and I assumed that, okay, this whole area down here, this is going to be all the DJ crowd and all this kind of stuff, and they're not going to give a shit about that. But they did, because they don't hear it, because so few people know how to play that style good, you know, or well, because it takes a lot of work, you know, and people don't want to do that. It's so much easier to run out and get, you know, a MacBook Pro and Logic software. Okay, so, yeah, point number 11. Don't get sucked into the downward spiral. And I'm really just telling myself that. Okay, don't get sucked in the downward spiral. When we feel alone, we tend to want to numb the pain. Like I talk about my key concepts. This is you sitting in Suffer City. Excuse me. Suffer City. It is a place you are as you work towards bettering yourself, and things are going to constantly hurt until you take action towards mastery. You have two choices you can make, either discipline or regret. When you're disciplined, you are lifting weights or riding your fixed gear bike to get stronger. It's crazy, man. Like, I don't know what got into me, but like last week I literally doubled my regimen. So I went, well, yeah, I pretty much doubled it. I went from riding like between 12 and 14 miles a day to doing like 22 to 24, you know, so I guess a 24, 12, to, yeah, so doubling it. And it was kind of cool. I said the strength lifts you out of the Dust Bowl haze and Suffer City and towards a more inhabitable city. Drugs, alcohol, and self-doubt will throw you into the barrio of Suffer City on the regret block where nothing good happens. It's okay to go out and have a good time every now and again to take your mind off things, but when it becomes a lifestyle serving an addiction, that's when it becomes a problem. Don't let yourself get there. Work towards mastery. I'm working on it, y'all. Point number 12. Don't post on social media, okay? Everyone knows how I feel about social media. Matter of fact, I swiped the URL socialmedia.rehab. Okay? It's detrimental to your life unless you're using it to generate taxable income so you can prove on a spreadsheet. When you post on social media for personal purposes, it creates an unnatural sense of loss or gain not experienced in nature. When someone doesn't respond to your post, you associate that stimulus with pain. Because the average social media user spends over 1 hour a day on these platforms, it's like they're standing in a campfire expecting not to get burned. People do listen when you post on these platforms, but they're not always going to tell you that they are doing so. like I explained some of the above listed points. The bottom line is that you thinking about what's going on these platforms subjects you to that negative feedback loop that you don't need to see. You don't need to concern yourself with what's going on there. Concern yourself with what's going on in real life so that you can move forward. When you do this, people start to pay attention. You know what's crazy? I have created so much content that I literally don't even know what to post on social media. I mean, I literally could create I could create a feedback loop of myself probably for the next 10 years with all the sound bites I have. It's kind of interesting. So that might be an interesting experiment. Maybe I'll just shut it down, get the social media machine going, and people think I'm creating this shit, but I'm not. I created it like 5 years ago. I mean, that's the cool thing. That's one thing. That's one reason why I did this is because I really just want, I want to have something to, quite frankly, to laugh at when I'm older. You know, I want to have something where I can go, you know what? He didn't regret anything. And, you know, I can't even say I have regrets, really, that I can think of. I mean, I got a couple regrets. I sold a car one time that I shouldn't have to buy a, you know, a sports car, which was stupid. I regret that. What else do I regret? That's pretty much it. Yeah, that I'm going to admit to. Yeah, so that's really the point, y'all. Hope you like that podcast. Visit me on the site, michaelmanicotti.com. Also, subscribe on, you know, tell your friends about my podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and all that, whatever platform you want. The bottom line is if you go to my website, you can see where all the links are. I even have a player embedded in the content. You know, so there's a player, there's a video, there's always, I've recorded every podcast on video. Matter of fact, it's cool to see it because then you can see, you know, how handsome I am and tell all your girlfriends about me. So, michaelmanicotti.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great, great wherever the fuck, night, day, all that kind of stuff. Peace out.